Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz Fancast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And I'm your special musical guest, Justin Timberlake.
And I'm Colin.
This week, Dust, episode 4.
Okay, guys, quick recap for you. The crew cracks the case by creeping in Connor's closet. Our courageous crusaders confront the killer cop, who quickly confesses. The characters clash, and in the chaos, Dylan crashes from his cage and kills Connors.
So slow work it, slow work last week.
This is just on the drive over here.
Yeah, that's good. It's very good.
It's just a lot of... I've heard that K is the funniest sound, and so I'm trying to sprinkle that in wherever I can. Like the hard C.
K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
See, I was going to do a bit, but all the steam's gone now.
You gonna cast Zone of Truth, or are we just going to kind of sit here staring at each other?
Draw me a river. Oh, draw me a river.
Oh, God.
Told you were going to hate me. So I cast Zone of Truth.
Okay. Last week, I think I was right.
Okay. Let me read back to you what you said about last week. They would go to Connor's address.
Well, I said the address.
Okay, fine. Correct.
Crushed it.
You also said that the Banshee would be Augustus's daughter.
It's still possible.
And that Connor's wouldn't be in this episode at all.
Right, because I thought they were going to take it to 5 episodes. And he shouldn't have been in this episode. And they should.
Instead, they took it from the bridge. That's a JT reference as well. It's fun for everybody.
I don't...
Draw me a river. It's very catchy, Jake. That's some good work. Very, very good work.
What? Justin Timberlake did
it. I am Justin Timberlake.
My homeboy JK over here.
He literally just changed one letter.
How many letters have you changed today?
Like 8.
Those are the real letters. You just made them sound different.
Yeah, but no, I spelled them all wrong.
I'm going to tap out real quick on the Zone of Truth. I was wrong on just everything. I got nothing good. Sorry, y'all. Really wanted a jailbreak, though. Back up a wagon, pull the wall down. Hold on, yards.
There was kind of a jailbreak.
Not really, no.
Yeah, not in the way he was describing it. That being said, I was also wrong. Also... super thought there was going to be a 5th episode. Also, was really proud of my last minute postulation on Twitter where I was all like, oh man, the A in the letters is covered up in blood. Maybe that means we should be looking at someone with an A name. And then that didn't even...
I mean, we still don't know who the Banshee is.
Right. We may never.
True. That starts with a B.
So we were talking about this earlier.
This episode brought to you by the letter B.
No, it's...
Why did I do all those C's?
Right.
Shit, why don't you tell me these things?
That's next week's episode is brought to you by the letter Z. I told you we're going alphabetical from Dust, Ep 3. It's a very good starting spot. I spoke with a consultant on podcast, and they said start in the middle of a bit and then do a new bit so they overlap.
It's true. You want all of your bits to overlap.
Right, it's good for momentum.
Exactly. And builds listenership. All right, let's talk about the episode.
That's what people came here for.
Yeah.
That's what we came here
let's
for.
Let's do it. Should we start at the beginning?
It's a very good place to start.
Where they go to the house.
Whose house?
Connor's house.
What?
Is
We're all...
So I think what's happened here is we thought there'd be two more episodes, so we're trying to fit all our funny... two episodes of funny into one episode, and it means we're just doing bad.
Real bad.
Or good.
Yeah, you let us know.
Or don't. Don't let us know if it's bad. We'll just we'll infer that.
Yeah, if we don't hear anything, we'll know it's bad. So yeah, I guess that first thing is the surprise that this was the last episode. I think all of us had been expecting five.
Seems like the story would have easily carried it to five.
Not to jump ahead to the end of the episode, but I thought it resolved a little too easily.
I agree. I liked the ending, and I think that's where it should have ended. But I think getting there,
I mean, could have. It feels like they could have gotten there in three episodes.
Yeah. I mean, do you think in terms of like the Mackleverse that we're creating, that whatever the announcement is that's coming this week somehow prompted them to wrap up this mini arc earlier so they can move on?
I don't think so. I just don't think there was another layer to the mystery.
I'm just so I'm like, I don't know. This seems like something where, despite what we said about Amnesty, where the world was bigger than it needed to be, this felt like the world was big but could have been used more. And I felt like Travis had more in the bag for us.
Well, and so that's a place where I think that this was the right level of world building for this format, like this mini arc format.
Yeah.
Because, yes, the rest of there is more, but it's not. It was not integral to this story, so we're left with a tiny little tease to say, "Hey, there are some other things going on," rather than an Amnesty where all of these things that we never got to see were actually integral to the story, yeah, and we just sort of brushed past them.
Well, and I think there's also a difference in scope, because in Amnesty there were a bunch of little details and nuggets that were there that the characters never fleshed out. They never found the fire, whatever, the amulet thing that was in Ned's shot. Like it was all these details that were in there, but Travis didn't give any details. He said there's the church and there's right. the city and there's the terror. So by leaving these big open spaces that can be filled in with whatever, as the story needs, is I think a much better way to do the world building, as you said, than giving us all these minute details that relate only to the characters that they were using. Whereas this place, you could easily transplant these three characters for another three, and they would still function within.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's sort of the weird thing. We've talked about this a couple times, where if they hang out in the same world but are different characters, it'd be super easy to reroll people as other Grayson agents.
Right, yeah.
And just keep that as the arc that keeps us through that. The Grayson agency is trying to do something. But the way they ended it, they pretty well committed to that. If we come back to the Crescent Territory, we're committed to Gandhi, Augustus, and Errol as the characters, because they're the ones who took on the next job.
Right, but you could... I would imagine that the Grayson agency could be bigger than just the Crescent Territory.
Sure, they could have a space wing.
Right, that's immediately what I was thinking.
Well, it goes with the art.
Assuming the art is only for the mini arcs, the season two could be the Grayson agency in any number of environments, right? And throughout time, even.
It'd actually be a kind of... It would be a pretty clever bit if they did that, because it gives them almost a similar structure to Balance,
right,
with the Bureau of Balance, but seemingly detached from the plot.
Right.
Yeah, I'm reticent to say that Colin had a good idea, but that actually sounds really
We gave him a lot of compliments last week. I'm worried this is becoming a trend.
It's because I'm a great
careful.
Person.
Be very careful here.
I'm just saying, I think it would be a world that would be easily revisited. And I kind of thought the same of Amnesty, is you could have other people, not of the Pine Guard necessarily, but you have the gate pop up somewhere else, and there's some other kind of protective fort.
The Pine Guard, the Fjord Guard.
Yeah, the whatever. Yeah.
The Redwood Guard.
the whatever the defining physical the caricature
guard. The oak guard.
The what guard?
The dune guard, if it's just up in a desert.
And I thought dunes. You said dude. The dude guard.
Well, that's like a beach somewhere.
Like a surf dude. Now, yeah, the Fremen are the dune desert. Guard.
The who now?
Dune. Frank Herbert. Sandworms. Fremen, blue eyes.
Didn't, nope.
Controls the spice, controls the world.
Like, I know the bits, but I did not. I did not.
look, if I run through all of the bits, will you understand them real quick?
Yeah, sorry, I haven't read or seen Dude.
Same. So, they, going back to this episode, they go to the address on the card, as was predicted by somebody.
Super not important right now.
I did think it was funny, the whole bit of Errol trying to figure out how to get inside.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting, and sure enough, Justin did it. He's like, what do we do? I just go inside.
Right. I'm a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, okay, see ya.
Yeah, I think that that entire opening sequence where they're getting into it was some very classic Adventure Zone moments, which I really enjoyed thoroughly.
Yeah.
And I did really like Travis's decision to suddenly cut away when Gus is going upstairs and going, what's Errol doing? We're really getting B-roll? I'm heading towards the spooky things? We're going for B-roll?
I love it.
So good.
I love it. And I kind of like, maybe this is just because I'm a little petty, but Griffin being left outside while the plot happens inside. Right.
Give the other two some action.
Yeah, yeah. Just because I feel like Griffin forces the action a lot. So okay, you're sidelined. Although I think he could have gone in.
He absolutely could have gone in. Yeah, there would have been one more sentence of discussion, and they would have all three been inside.
Well, and what was the magic? It detects if somebody has been in.
Yeah, like it was not an alarm or anything. Yeah. So like,
well, Gandy is still in there. Would it not go off because somebody? Is it somebody has used this door or somebody has been inside the house?
My impression was like that there was sort of a barrier around it, that if the barrier was broken.
Yeah, I guess it's just not clearly defined, but also like what? Just do it.
Right. It's fine. We're in the end game.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah. You've already told us it's the last episode.
Yeah. You got to right. lose. There's only so many consequences that can come out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and let's talk about what we found in Connor's house for a little bit, because I'm not sure I think this is where I do agree that there seems like a little bit of a rushed finale to some of these things. So Connor's was a beat cop in the big city, 2 G's, 2 Y's.
Which, by the way, I do think Travis needs to work on naming people things within the world.
Yeah.
The church.
Well, the city. Like that I understood. Because it was entity.
I understood it until he said you go to the building and it has a big T and a big C. Like, mm-hmm. It's literally called the church.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you can refer to it as the church, but it's not going to call itself the church.
I missed that detail.
Yeah.
Well, that was back in Ep 1.
Sorry, I didn't mean to... Well, I did mean to interrupt. It wasn't...
No, it's... But. That's fine. That's what we do here.
I can interrupt Chris too.
Equally valid points.
I lost it. Somebody else had it.
You were saying that it felt like a rushed endgame.
Oh, right. So the whole bit. He's a beat cop. So Connors is a beat cop in the big city, 2 G's, 2 Y's, and then he somehow leaves it.
Yeah, there was no connection between that last story about him but busting the enforcer.
There totally was. He explained it in the jail house. He said, he basically got in trouble with the mob and was, you know, basically booted out of the city.
Right.
Because he was trying to arrest people connected with the mob who had protection from, like, the police chief. And so the police chief, instead of arresting the mob, just kicked him out. Yeah. I mean, I thought that was all very cleverly tied together a little bit.
Hey, Jake. Hey, you wanna see me over here in the bad listeners corner? So
the nap that I was taking was very.
I had to go to a wedding this weekend, so I didn't really get to hear all of it. But it seems like there was some good storytelling that happened.
Yeah, I kind of wish Colin had done a better job synopsizing.
If it was going less in Heart of the Seas, maybe he could have learned some things.
Yeah,
in our pre-ep briefing. Hey, Colin.
Hey, guys. Just saying, the seas were definitely worth it. And a synopsis can't be but so detailed.
Yes, but I think you chose some, like, there were some nuggets that could have been included.
Well, I stuck to the, you know, the key clues of the
Stop it.
Case.
Stop it.
Don't.
Don't.
Good, because I was going to throw that off the dome, and that's about all I had.
Okay, so our bad listening aside, I still agree that it felt a little rushed when we introduced, like, these two opposing gods.
Demons.
Or demons, yeah.
Well, aren't they, like, brothers?
Yes, but...
But one is of justice and one is of chaos.
And it felt a little, like, I could have used more depth there to understand these connections.
Well, I wonder if they would have had more depth if they had ever gone to the church. Because they were, like, in the vicinity...
And Travis mentioned Maybe. Several times going to go see Father Dante.
Yeah, and so I wonder if there would have been a lot more of that lore, but sort of in like a video game, you stumble upon it before you know anything about it.
That's fair. Yeah.
And so that's why he had to make Gandy do a check to see if she would recognize the sigil, because y'all weren't supposed to be here yet. But
that's a really good point.
I did think it was
too many of those.
It was a little silly that they opened up the bunk and basically... you know, kill Dylan.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Okay, well, that solves that. Like, what frustrated me is, if they had not gone to see Dylan at the top of episode 3, if they had gone to the Banshee and then gone to Sheriff Connor's house, I mean, you could have seriously wrapped this series in three.
It'd be a longer third episode, but you'd probably be there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I don't get, when Errol was talking to Liam... Why didn't he mention that a pair of his gloves had gone missing or was stolen or something to that effect to add another layer into it?
Right.
Because A, that would be a convenient story if he was the murderer.
Yeah.
And B, it's an, you know, just an...
Well, it would have been a moment to, like, go check out the mines and, yeah, you know, sort of give us another place in town rather than bouncing back and forth to... the two areas.
And maybe it would have added too much to it, but it did feel like... And then they confront the sheriff and say, oh, yep, you figured me out.
Yeah.
Oh, good golly.
One, it's a strange thing the way that Travis played Connors out. And I think it's not, I don't think it's wrong, because it's the way a lot of things play out in the trope of this. Like, I'm right, and listen to why I'm right, and I had to do it for the greater good. But
the greater good.
The ease with which the Connors character slipped from, we had to figure this out, to... Yep, you got me. Also, I feel like lends itself to, we have to get this done in 4 because of something.
Yeah, and not only that, I will give you, I'll grant you that, but he revealed his plan, right? And he was talking about, oh yeah, I killed him because it's for the greater good. And
the greater good.
The whatever. And but he says it all in front of Dylan.
Yeah.
Like, Dylan is there. Like, why not invite them into your house?
Right.
Or do it. Why would you say in front of Dylan, you've seen how broken up he is? You said, oh, he's going to go free because I definitely killed Jeremiah, but I'm going to pin it on Liam. So we're good. We're cool. We're good.
This kid's just around. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. He'll be fine.
Well, and they even say it, like, he says at the top end of it, something like, oh, don't worry, the kid's asleep or something. Like, when they first get to the jail, Travis says something about it.
Oh, does it? I do not recall that.
But I remember being thrown off by that, because they specifically say, I think they say, don't worry about the kid, he's asleep or whatever. But they're having the conversation, and then suddenly Dylan is awake and mad and has perfect knowledge of the conversation. So I
just assume he wasn't actually asleep, because, I mean, he'd been laying down all night, but they went to talk to him, he wasn't actually asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sort of the read that I had on it. Like, but, well, and I'll, that he and was I'll, just sort of.
And I'll buy that too, but I didn't get the impression that the jail was all that big that you maybe wouldn't notice Dylan listening and growing larger. And like, there's no way that they reached the end of the conversation and Dylan suddenly decides to transform. I feel like it would have been,
yeah,
if the murderer of the man he loved had confessed, I feel like that's the trigger, not when they go and open the door for him, yeah, to leave, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. It seemed very strange that I feel like there should have been an extra layer or two to the mystery than Connor just confessing and like giving his diatribe in front of Dylan. It made no sense.
Yeah. Well, and I think the trick of it is that, and I wonder if this is just maybe like Travis wrote himself into a place where he didn't have any place else to go. Because once the Banshee gives them Connor, there isn't anything else. You couldn't put a scene in between being at Connor's house and being at the, Connor confessings.
Yeah. I mean, they were going to go to the Joe house next.
Yeah.
They were going to go confront Connor.
So, but I think that you sort of have to track backwards from there and I don't know, you know, maybe it was meant to be this way, or maybe they just didn't play it out quite right, that they're going to go from the scene with the Banshee to Connor's house, to the jail, to the finale. That's going to be the sequence. So I wonder if the story needed to be a little more front-loaded with information gathering, or if the way they put it out, like, they just skipped it.
Manufacture an emergency.
Yeah.
That or causes you to go to the church in between.
Yeah, make the address the address to the church. The key is still to Connor's house. You go to the church, you find the stuff to the gods.
Yeah.
You go to Connor's house, you find the murder weapon.
Right. Could have been broken up a little.
Yeah. They could have done something. Because I don't know if it's in anticipation of this big announcement. Maybe it is. They very rarely do two episodes in 1 week. I don't know if they've ever done it. But it felt very rushed. And I loved this arc until this final episode.
Yeah.
Because it just did not feel like a big enough payoff for the story we've gotten to this point.
Well, I think it's tricky, though, because what I think maybe frustrated me a little bit was that this arc really felt like, for the connection that I had to this arc felt very similar to the feelings I had during Balance, in terms, yes, of really enjoying, even while I maybe didn't enjoy Errol, enjoying the way it was being played out, and getting into episode 3 and on, feeling that deeper world building happening, the deeper connection between the characters, the comfort with the characters and the system, where they're no longer heading all those questions and are really getting into what makes Adventure Zone great, and then to have it wrap up so fast,
yeah,
in a way that really was less satisfactory than Amnesty. Amnesty being similarly fleshed out, but I didn't get the same character connection there, I think due to the way Griffin decided to tell the story.
Yeah.
That I felt like Dust was really hitting those notes and was a real strong contender for a season 2 kind of variant. I think the game also lends itself well to what they're doing, seemingly, mm-hmm, at least the way, and this is where it gets weird, the way that Travis GMs it,
yeah,
I think really lends itself pretty great to how things are going.
So I don't think the system is that different from Monster of the Week.
No, I think you're right.
It was GM so differently.
Yeah.
And like letting the characters actually have agency.
Yeah. It still didn't seem to go... I still don't think they are using the system the way they outlined they wanted to at the top of the mini arcs.
Right.
Especially when they started to go to Powered by the Apocalypse and we're talking about wanting the story to be narrative driven, and then the GM could kind of step in and be like, okay, this is when I need you to make a roll. Like even when they were doing Connor's house from the get-go, saying like, I want to extend my senses using the phrasing of the rule book. They tried to build, like, I feel like what that should have been is, Griffin goes up to the door and like, I'm going to like sniff around the door and see what it is. And then Travis should say, okay,
So my point of contention there is I remember Griffin saying that at the top of Amnesty. I do not remember Travis saying that at the top of Dust. Griffin saying like, I don't want you to tell me what you're rolling. I want you to describe. And Griffin did call people out during Amnesty,
yeah,
where Clint or Justin would be like, I want to do this. And he goes, well, no, tell me what you're doing.
Right. Fair.
Okay. Whereas I don't know that Travis ever said that, and I think it's kind of more in line.
Well, there were also, I think, very few roles this time. Like, it was...
Yeah, which I kind of liked. It was more about the characters figuring out the world than can you get a high enough number on this check.
And ultimately, I think what it is letting them role play with Travis balancing it as they go. Mm-hmm. You know, the role, well, and especially as a contrast to how Griffin was treating sort of the role system versus how Travis treated the role scale. Scale is, I guess, a better word. Travis seemed to be much more lenient about what a mixed success was. And also followed a bit more closely, like, what it says the rules say you do when this happens.
Yeah.
I
feel like there was a lot less home cooking on Travis's to make it narratively interesting.
Yeah, I think Travis was pretty true to the rules and really ran a really good game.
Yeah.
And was, I think, able to then let the more organic parts of the story happen in a better framework. I think it shows that if you have the structure there to let them not really worry about all the other bits and the things they don't know, that they can really get into it more. The guys can.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this episode also had a lot of that funny interaction of just these guys talking to each other.
Yeah.
And being in, you know, not really in the same room, but being proverbially in the same room and having this table talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought this episode was full of funny bits, like Justin saying, like, are we really seriously getting B-roll right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the whole moment where Clint clerics well.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was... he's floating away!
Goodbye, Dad! We love you, Dad.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was a great bit. Yeah,
it's so great. One thing I wanted to comment on while we're sort of talking about the larger story arc and sort of Travis's role as a GM, I was reading through the adventures on Reddit the other day, and I apologize for not calling out this username. I should have put it in my notes. But they were talking about the difference between Amnesty and Dust in terms of music production, and I know we've commented pretty frequently on how. Overall, the music is excellent. Everything that Griffin has composed has been really well-toned and well-suited to things, but noting that because it's Travis's arc, that there aren't moment-specific pieces of music that there would be in Dust or there was in Balance, and specifically calling out like the last boss battle felt like it could use a backing soundtrack, and having Griffin the composer and Travis the GM, there isn't the time to do it, mm-hmm. to create, you know... It would require either Travis to compose the music or Griffin to compose it after they record it, and I don't think they give themselves the lead time to do that.
Right.
And I hadn't really thought about it until this comment brought it up on the Reddit, and the more I thought about it, though, I think they're absolutely right. Like, those moments when Connors is making his speech at the end should have had unique backing music.
Or, yeah, like a swell as he's transforming into this...
And things that were little musical cues that Griffin was able to pull out in Amnesty, which I think did so much for world building. You know, we talked about when we did our episodes, they had different themes for like when they went to the lodge versus when they were in the forest mm-hmm. versus when they were at the Cryptonomicon, that there is different musical bits outside of just the Amnesty theme. And whereas for this arc, all we have is the Dust theme.
So one sort of counterpoint I'll make is I think Commitment still had a lot of those little bits because at that point, and this is, I only think this because I was on Griffin's Bandcamp page recently. And that was because there were 2 weeks between episodes.
Yeah.
So they probably don't have the time to do it with 1 week between. But I didn't notice that, but I'm also not hung up about it. Because if this were to be season two, I think, you know, you have that time.
If they go back to their other week, you think there's enough production time in there?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, especially... I don't know.
That's always been my impression, right? That come season two, we'll be back
They'll get back there, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that would lend itself to putting in those production values. Because you're right, it could have used some more
ambient
music.
That would maybe be a good thing for all of us listeners is to lower expectations during the mini arcs so we're not looking for it to be... We want them to get through it, we want to see if we enjoy it, and then we'll let them get to... a fully produced Adventure Zone when they get into season two.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to remember, before the Crystal Kingdom, they never had any musical cues whatsoever.
Yeah, but Crystal Kingdom is the third one. Like, it came out pretty fast.
I mean, it was pretty early, but it was also still like a year into it.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, I don't... I don't know that it's necessarily fair to compare the two, because the things that they know now about what works for the Adventure Zone are so different than what they knew back then.
I'm just saying that I still think it stands out as a great mini arc, regardless of... It may have had slightly lower production values because Griffin didn't have the lead time of knowing what was going to happen. Speaking of, it's kind of amusing that Griffin always knew exactly what was going to happen in his episodes. Wonder why that is. But I still think it worked. Like it, you like you said, you didn't notice it until you read this comic.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I so, which I think is to say, the music, the lack of original compositions didn't detract from the experience at all. Right. But I didn't realize how much it could add to the experience.
That's fair.
And that, as a credit to them and as a credit to the work that Griffin does, that these are things that are so thoughtful and so well-timed that they just, they become a seamless part of the experience and just add such another layer that I didn't realize I was missing. But knowing it now is, it's, I think it shows that
you
there's
can
a,
see
a, yeah, there's a void there. And,
which, by the way, how great is the Dust theme?
It's very, very good. Very good.
Love it.
Very, very
good. I didn't like it at first, but I've seen how the world was built.
I think that was a trick. As I felt, I think the Amnesty theme more immediately captured me into the world, and I think it sort of brought me into the forest. But I think it's also easier for me to put a mental picture to West Virginia forest, having grown up on the East Coast and being familiar with sort of forest, as opposed to a more Western, Southwestern setting where I've spent very little time personally, and so not being able to be transported there as easily. But as the episode, as the arc played out, I think you're right. I think it really hit some perfect notes, and having it even at the head and the tail of the episode was just great.
Yeah. I listened all the way through it at the end.
Yeah.
It's nice. Fantastic. I had something. I thought another one of my other, we haven't really talked about the players that much. Like, we talked about the world building, but we haven't actually talked too much about, like, the player interaction.
Yeah.
Augustus in the house, I thought, was very amusing.
Oh, no.
It's happening again. Oh, I'm falling through the floor. It's like, oh, she opens it up, and she's fine.
Yeah.
And he's back.
Right.
Which still, you know, makes me think we don't have the rules for how ghosts move in this world.
Yeah.
But, and we may never, but it was very, very amusing.
Yeah, I think there are this episode, last episode in particular, I think had some pretty phenomenal moments by Justin and Clint of playing their characters and really getting into the bits. I was thrown off at first, but the more I think about it, at the very end when Clint makes sure Gandhi has a moment where he gives Uncle Oni the book, seemed innocuous and maybe not worth including in this big finale that was happening. But I think it made, the more I reflected on it, it made so much more sense for the character. Like, that is absolutely something Gandhi would be doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it was great that Clint felt that way as well and committed to doing it. Like, this is a scene that needs to happen. And I think it's important. I think that was so cool.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing about the like big finale thing that I didn't like, love to hear your guys' thoughts on. The Blackwells learn their son has been killed, and their only question is, was he happy when he died?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a parent. I don't know what it could be like to lose a child, but it seems like you might have more of a reaction than just immediately accepting that, yep, he's gone. But was he happy when he died?
And the hierarchy of things as they happened in that moment seemed very strange. Like, it took me until they asked, sort of we got to that question asking of like, oh shit, they still don't know he's dead.
Yeah, right.
I forgot that they don't know he's dead. Yeah.
The way they were acting, I figured, oh, so they know.
Right, somebody told them, and so they've grieved for, I guess, an hour.
Yeah,
and are now good in town.
Yeah, they're good again.
Yeah.
Because that reaction made no sense to me.
Yeah. Again, going to maybe rushing the back end of it.
Yeah. And that part, I mean, I feel like the action was over. So, I mean, you're not going to go to an episode 5 and it just be Travis telling
an hour of denouement.
Yeah.
For Griffin's arcs only.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, it did feel rushed, but it felt very inauthentic that oh, your son died. Huh? Bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, it did do a strange, it did a strange turnabout of how Travis was portraying the town. And also, like, I would have liked to have seen it play out a little bit more with how the faction sort of accepted this information that Connors was working against them.
Yeah. Yeah, like, does the deal still happen?
Yeah, so this, and again, this is that open-ended world stuff where I feel like we do have the right amount, like you were saying earlier, Jake, I think we have the right amount of stuff, and it's not as bad as maybe the open ends and Amnesty that were not character-driven. But there does seem to be, like, it could have used a little bit more epilogue.
Well, and I guess to Errol's point is they don't really care about the deal. That's not what they're there for.
Right, so if we're focusing on the perspective of the player characters.
That yeah, but it's a tough balance between letting those characters move on, but providing a meaningful experience for a listener.
Well, yeah. And I feel like Errol would care.
So, did anyone else have the moment when Errol goes in and gets the badge, when they're like, oh, fuck, Griffin's about to declare himself sheriff?
Yeah.
Because I was like, he's going to do it. This is so bad. Please don't do it. Don't do this.
Yeah.
I was so relieved when he gave it to Rosa.
I thought 100% that's what was happening.
Yeah.
Oof. God damn it, Errol.
God damn it, Errol. It's not your place.
Just a minute. I want to take all the attention and put on myself
real quick. Just real quick, real quick. Where's my bell?
Just a minute. Hold up.
Don't need a bell if you have a badge.
I am glad that we've gone back to the Adventure Zone trope of our heroes being in trouble and then somebody comes and saves them.
Yes.
And kills the big bad for them.
It wasn't a woman this time.
Yeah. So, yeah. A little tricky. Disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, commit to the bit.
Yeah, right.
Would have been nice if Rosa had walked in and just sort of fixed it.
Right, right. Also, I thought, not to move too far away from that,
if you look at it as the Banshee really put all those pieces in place.
No, I mean in the fight.
Yeah.
Like where they're losing to a boss or to somebody and, you know, here comes Killian or here comes Hurley or...
That's fair.
I mean, it was a good bit by Errol to realize to shoot the lock off.
Yes.
I don't know that that would have occurred to me.
No. And I did like the play of keeping him in werewolf form to get him to medical care.
Yeah.
I think that makes good sense in fiction.
Yeah. And it was clever.
Yes.
I also didn't know what Augustus was doing at first.
Yeah, just taking the glasses.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, so I thought he might be going to get Uncle Oni.
Yeah, my first read on that situation was that Uncle Oni was going to be the force that came in and solved it, like, because we know he can be scary and murdery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I thought it was going. And I was just like, oh, all right, Justin, you just peacing out on this fight?
Right.
Like, Augustus is good out here.
Yeah.
Like, just chilling outside. But then the way it came back to, like, oh, no, let me, you know, this is our saving grace. The way we can prove ourselves, like, that, if that's what he was thinking the entire time, that's a tremendous amount of foresight.
And, yeah. Well, and I mean, I think that fits the character, though, because, like, he admits he's not a fighter. Yeah. His powers are can't be hit and spectral cashews.
Yeah.
Right.
And spectral cashews are a bit of a stretch. Right.
And, I mean, if we consider Augustus as this, you know, shrewd businessman who does think several steps ahead, that's very the calculating fiction for capitalist. Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great, I just thought it was a great, like, moment.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I agree.
Deus ex homunculus.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was getting Uncle Oni to come help fight. But instead, you know, everybody figured out, what happened? Why'd you kill the sheriff? What the hell? He's like, oh no, watch this. And
this haunted doll.
Yeah. Like he did. There weren't any prompts to it. It's not like Travis had to do like the wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just did it. I don't know. I thought that was a great moment because it would not have occurred to me to distract Connors, take the glasses and leave.
Right. Yeah. And work on this sort of B plot.
You know,
side quest effectively while the main stuff's going on.
Right. Right. While they're fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was very clever.
I think we're maybe arriving at Justin's the driving force behind all the good bits here.
Yeah. I think Justin and Clint are my two favorite player characters.
Yeah.
I think they just nail it. I haven't heard Justin DM, but.
And so I guess that's a good transition to move into our thoughts about what might be coming next. Because I hope that, not yet, I hope that we get a chance to see Justin DM. You know, I don't know what's next, but I think we've learned a lot in these past couple arcs, and
yeah,
to give someone new a shot, because I mean, even Travis has had experience with Taz Knights,
yeah,
or you know, I think I would love to hear Clint get another shot at it. Yeah. Having a little bit under his feet
and not immediately following balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a tough slot to be in.
Yeah. Real tough.
Yeah. And I mean, we have two more arcs on the current album art. Mm-hmm. So we'll see a presumably Sherlock Holmes and the space opera going on. I think that Griffin is doing the space opera.
I think that one was, my understanding is that was Griffin's and that Sherlock Holmes was, Justin's.
Yeah.
Which it would be like, I do want to see Justin as a DM, but I am told I would miss him terribly as a player character.
Yeah.
Because I think he but he provides so much of the levity in so many of these arcs, mm-hmm, that it's not that he couldn't do it as a DM, but I think it's just a lot harder.
Also say that, I think Justin has more frequently demonstrated a willingness to be the supporting character that is required to advance the story than the other three have.
Well, and I think Clint has a fair bit. I think he is. Well, and I don't know that he's volunteered it or just kind of allowed himself to be it. But
yeah.
I agree that Justin does a good job of purposefully stepping aside. Like, okay, well. Yeah.
Focusing on the story they're telling, focusing on the bit and going to get a good storytelling moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a very different way than things that are what we've now deemed quote unquote narratively interesting.
Yeah.
As sort of a, you know, underline italicized.
Yeah. Right.
Winky faces on both ends.
Yeah. Agreed.
They're in both which trying we all to make just, winky faces.
In which we all wink at each other.
I mean, we succeeded.
We gotta get we do that Instagram account for all these good moments.
Do we?
It's not a visual medium.
Y'all are good at fan art. Draw what you think we look like, trying please to wink at each other, please.
Danger.
We are new album art.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Rachel will get very mad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I don't know. I want to see Justin be a DM, but I kind of also won't be heartbroken if he never does.
Do you think they're going to have the patience to go through two more mini arcs before they get to season two, or do you think they're itching to go long form again?
I think they might be itching to go back to every other week.
Yeah, fair.
Whether it's long form or in a mini arc. I feel...
Get some space.
Especially like with Justin with a new baby. Mm-hmm. Might be ready to revisit these mini arcs later and go on to something longer.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting to see if they revisit one of these worlds or just borrow what they've learned from, or it would be interesting to see what they do.
It seems like a pretty safe bet that they're going to stick with Powered by the Apocalypse.
Yeah, it seems that way.
You know, they're not, it's not like they're going to end up at, unless they magically end up at Pathfinder or, you know, it doesn't seem like they're going back to 5e, certainly.
I can't imagine they go to Pathfinder.
Yeah, that seems as complicated as...
I think it's Pathfinder, and I could be completely wrong, but I think Pathfinder was made by the people who left Wizards of the Coast because they felt D&D was getting too casual.
Yes.
And so I can't imagine they're going to go to something more hardcore than
D&D. Yeah, it's based on 3rd edition, but more codified.
Yeah.
Which was already very strict in its rule set.
Right, so I can't imagine they're going to go to something more strict and then just, you know, completely ignore it in favor of storytelling.
Right.
I did think it was interesting. We ran a poll on our Twitter this week. You want to tell us about the results of that, Jake?
So, we got 69 responses.
Nice.
Which I think is all of the listeners of the Adventure Zone, right? Like, 100% sampling.
Pretty sure.
Which is wonderful for us.
Yeah, our N is very good.
Yeah.
Very good N.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's episodes of Balance.
Each episode of Balance voted in our thing?
Uh-huh. Yep.
But we were asking, you know, what mini arc had been your favorite so far. And Amnesty and Dust came out just about even. I think that it's like 45 to 48%.
Sorry, Clint.
Yeah, I mean, Commitment was much lower, but I think we've talked about that. Like, it did directly follow Balance. Clint had never done it before. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot... I think there was no way to properly control expectation for it. So I'd be... like I said, I'd be interested to hear Clint try something new. You know, and some of the feedback from our users.
Yeah, I did think, before we get to that, I thought it was interesting that they were so closely linked, because really I think they are so different in the way they are GM'd.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, it felt like, and I think we talked on this earlier, Travis was, it really seemed to be playing the system the way it was meant to be played. It's a wide open world. You guys create it. You tell me what's happening.
Yeah.
Whereas Griffin had a bit of that, like they came up with the caves and what have you, but that was much more, my NPCs are going to guide you through this world and tell you exactly what to do every step of the way.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because Balance wasn't like that. Like, I don't know why he went that route.
I don't know. I don't have, know if I have a good reason for it, other than wanting to capture the sort of emotional narrative of Balance in its small form, and the only way to do that being a very strict on rails experience. You know, you don't have the time to get to hit all the beats you, when you don't have the time to hit all the beats you want to organically, you have to manufacture them.
Yeah, and that is rough, because you end up not caring about the characters as much because you don't know them.
Right.
Whereas we, you know, I feel even in Dust we knew these characters, and we had spent a lot more time with these characters. Just in a world, hey, go figure it out.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so I think that those there, we raised some points there, and I think that lots of that has to do with the pacing. And user, it's Alicia, my dudes, at Weeshface on Twitter, talks about how Amnesty really worked best for her because there was sort of that room to explore. And that execution was there, especially with Griffin's experience and Balance. Mm-hmm. So I think that's absolutely a fair point, that once we can hone in on whatever is going to be our next story, having that room to breathe and get to know these characters, and you know, the way that we sort of grew up in a way with THB, right?
Right.
Will be really valuable.
Right.
As part of telling the story.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope that's what they go back to, is just let the characters exist in the world and see what happens, instead of it being a little more rails driven or trying to come up with fully fleshed out characters day one, ep one.
Well, and especially when Power of the By the Apocalypse has some interesting mechanics for leveling that we haven't gotten to experience yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the timeline, that either in Monster of the Week or in Urban Shadows, we haven't really seen what happens with corruption points or like luck in Monster of the Week, like how that plays out long term.
It's a good point.
And I think that would be, I think that they are all good enough at creating characters now that I don't think we're going to need to see the same level of development over a longer period of time. I don't think it's going to take them as long to hit a groove. I don't think it's going to take them as long to make really in-character choices and have the character be fleshed out emotionally as well as just sort of on paper. But I think having more time where the system can affect the character and how it interacts with its environment and how it interacts with the other characters will be really great.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of maybe what I've missed a little bit too, is there are limited opportunities for growth, not only in emotional development, but also in just seeing how things are required to change over time by the system. Because all the systems require, especially in Urban Shadows, like a sort of a degradation of character with the corruption points, mm-hmm. but also getting more powerful.
Right.
You know, and I think that, I'm excited to see that. And I feel like we got the best character development in Amnesty, because these characters are sort of put through a really intense experience that they sort of created together. Shayla on Twitter at Nifty and Spiffy also really loved Amnesty for that sort of reason, talking about the characters and the story being able to continue on that kind of growth and development. And I think that we haven't quite found the right balance just yet between that sort of need to see development, but also have clearly defined blocks to identify with.
Well, and I think that's a really good point, because I agree. I don't think there was a lot of character development in Dust. I mean, it all occurred over 8 hours.
Yeah.
But I also didn't mind it. I mean, maybe there was some character development. Errol might have figured out he's not as well liked as he thought. But in Amnesty, there certainly was, although it was as executed primarily, I felt, by Justin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By Doc.
Well, I think maybe that's the trick of it too, is Travis set a scope for the story that made sense for the amount of time they had. But it's a thing we've talked about before, but the grand scope that Griffin had laid out in Amnesty meant that there were logical opportunities for growth over this longer period of time, whereas you don't change that much from noon to eight as a person. I've tried it. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's very true.
I don't suddenly decide to be someone who really likes, you know, exercising.
But what about midnight to eight?
Oh, yeah. Take it. That's all I need.
Yeah. You just got to get those...
One shot to one corruption point, right?
You got to get those tapes that you play while you sleep.
To subliminally, like, reprogram my brain.
Omelette du fromage.
Yeah, exactly. You learn some French. Okay, yeah. I'm telling you, if that's how you experience character growth in just a mere 8 hours.
Does anyone have any thoughts on what might be coming for things? I mean, I think... if we really head right now, we need to get into the zone of postulation.
Zone of postulation.
You know, because he adds an audio bit in, you don't actually have to say it, right? Like,
it helps, though. It means I can turn down the wet track on the effects
channel. Oh, God, now my mouth feels so wet. Why did you say that?
It's not going to fix it.
Good radio.
So head into the zone of postulation for this week. Dust is over. There's a mystery episode coming out this Thursday. I don't feel like there'd be any secrecy around it if it was just we're heading to our next arc.
Mini arc. I don't think it's a full episode, right? It's
like
an announcement.
I postulate that it will be the teaser for season two. I think you guys are right that they're ready to move on to something that's a little more long form, that we can invest a little bit more in, and that they're going to give us the briefest, you know, acknowledge that, hey, season two is coming, there are going to be some changes, and the briefest tease about what that might be.
And it'll be three new brothers playing D&D with their dad. I think you're probably right. I think they will probably reserve the last two mini arcs, assuming they don't do the space opera type thing for the season two, I think they might save those for something else or for later, or the space opera will be the second season. And then maybe they revisit Amnesty and Dust between seasons
Be a nice place to stage some one-offs for a live show.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, or like between two
Dust,
and three.
The Dust Universe would be great for live shows. Actually, little one-off Grayson Mysteries.
My only concern with that is I don't think you'd be able to do enough fan service for a live show. Hmm. Like, you don't have the Abraca fuck you, you don't have the...
No, but I think Spectral Cashews are going to carry a lot of weight. And if someone makes them an Uncle Oni doll who can come out,
I mean,
do some good works.
I mean, agreed. I just think it would be, especially if you're doing continuing it as a mystery type thing, I just think it would be very difficult instead of like a dungeon with puzzles.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I think, you know, at least at this stage, people do love the characters in Dust and in Amnesty and Commitment, but they don't have that connection that they have to Taco and Merle and Magnus.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think for the live shows, at least for the... And who knows? I mean, they announce live shows.
Yeah, we should be getting a whole bunch probably this fall when...
Yeah.
When they're all done and produced.
Yeah. And so maybe we'll see if they revisit them. I just think they keep sticking with balance for the live shows.
Unless, you know, there really are...
Unless.
Unless, you know, they get into season two really hard...
Yeah.
And can give us that time to really grab on to some characters.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they're going to be there by the live shows in the... When are the live shows? In the summer? Right?
I know none of them were in Richmond, so I didn't actually look at the tour dates.
Yeah, same. We'll get them here yet.
Well, somewhere. One of our cities.
Yeah.
I've been trying to ponder this because I was curious of what...
This is not the zone of pondering.
I've been pondering what I want to postulate.
Zone of ponderation.
Ponderosa.
Ponderosa. I mean, that's not, Marine?
That's not Jesus. Meow. So in my thinking...
This is Philly, boys.
I think they maybe are writing their own game system. And I think that's the announcement.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Ooh.
I think that would be
ooh boy.
Worth keeping secret. I think it would be worth doing an announcement, not an episode. I think I could see it being something that they've decided to work towards to build their own thing. That's what I'm gonna hang my hat on for this week. I got no better evidence to go anywhere.
So what are you kind of imagining that system to be like?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a
Powered by the Apocalypse spinoff where something.
Okay, maybe I could see it as a Powered by the Apocalypse Macroverse.
MPU.
Is they mentioned that Travis was going to create his own game system for Dust.
Yeah,
and then
realized it was hard.
Yeah, that's. And I feel like they wouldn't, in the span of like 5 weeks, decide, no, we're going to do that.
Well,
if it's a spinoff of Powered by the Apocalypse, they totally could.
Well, and my only other thought was Travis mentioned he spent a lot of time talking to the creator of Urban Shadows about balancing gameplay and things and talking about that, all that. So I wonder if they continued having some conversations with other game creators to make a game tailored for what they want to do for their next setting.
Yeah, I mean, if...
Because I could see them wanting to get away from an existing rule system to something they can customize so that people like us can't correct them as much.
I mean, that's fair. I was going to say, they customize the hell out of the systems they play already. I mean, are they going to get a system where it's like, now as a GM, your role is to railroad your players as much as possible?
Maybe they'll call it Railroad.
Look.
Game system.
Yeah, I mean... We all know how great. Shit, I can't remember the name of the arc.
There's only four.
No, the campaign imbalance, yeah, the mini two. Campaign.
Uh huh.
I can't remember what it was called.
Okay.
But that was a good one.
Starts with an M, then a U, then an R, then a D, then an ER.
Oh, yeah. Murder on the Rockport Limited.
There it is.
That was, like, the train murder mystery is a fantastic... That could be the entire second season. Just a really long train ride.
Thanks so much for listening to We Do That, a Taz fan cast. Next week, we'll be back with, well, we don't know. There's an announcement coming next week. We hope it's all really exciting. We'll be on Twitter talking about what we have coming up, but we will see you all next Monday.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at We Do That Pod and tweet at us using the a Taz fan cast hashtag, or you can email us at WeDoThatPod@gmail.com. Send us your reactions, thoughts, and theories.
So that we can shamelessly steal them.
Special thanks to The Early for our intro and outro music.
New episodes of We Do That come out every Monday after the Adventure Zone. Bye, everybody.